You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Right, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and verses 28 through 30. The title of today's message is Great Love. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 30. The story is told of a wealthy man who was driving his BMW and got into a terrible accident, and when he came to, there was a police officer around him, and he was looking around at his BMW, and he said, "Oh man, oh my car, my beautiful car, my BMW," and the police officer said, "Sir, it's just a car. You shouldn't be all that worried about. There's more important things, and we have other things we need to take care of." He said, "Oh, my car." He said, sir, your arm has been severed at the elbow." And the rich man said, "Oh, my Rolex. He had wrong priorities, right? Sometimes we're not careful. We can have wrong priorities. A parent, a mother's highest priority is exactly what we're going to be looking at in this passage today. Yes, parents, and particularly mothers, we want what's best for our children. There's not a parent here that doesn't want safety for their children, real happiness, to be healthy, to be successful. We all want those things. And all those are good things, by the way. But if we really want what's best, we must teach them to love the Lord above everything else. Those other things are not bad. I long for those things for my children, and so do you. But above all those things, I want to teach my children to know and love the Lord. Amen. Now, some parents, and I've had many conversations with parents, and they've said, "You know, I'm going to let them choose their own path spiritually." And it drives me nuts when people say that. It makes no sense whatsoever. They don't do that with drugs, right? And they say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to let them make their own decision about whether or not they should use black tar heroin. You know, that's kind of their own thing, you know. Or dating. Yeah, you know, do whatever you want to after prom, sweetie. No questions asked, right? No, that's not the way that works. Or what school are you going to go to? Well, I'll just let them make their own decisions. I'm not going to help them in that career choice at all." No, they don't make that all. They help them. They guide them all the way. But our passage today teaches that we are to love God with our entire being. Now, if you say, "I'm not a mother," and all right, or aspire to be a mother, and that's true of me for sure, and true of many people in this room. But this passage is about loving the Lord and applies to us all specifically. Now, before we get into our passage today, I do want us to be mindful of those who have maybe lost mothers recently. And so instead of Mother's Day being a time of celebration, it's really a time of grief for them. And so make sure that we're mindful of that and praying for them. Praying for those who want to be mothers but can't be mothers. And there are many people that fit in that category as well. And so be mindful of that as we celebrate. When we look at our passage today, a mother's highest priority is to teach her children to love and serve the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that you have already allowed us to worship you today, and what a privilege that is. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us now. Lord, I pray that you would work in my weakness. And Lord, I pray that I would decrease, Lord, and that you would increase. And Lord, that we would feel your presence here today. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a one-point sermon with a lot of different things, so don't get too excited. But the point is that we want to teach our children to love God. We are to teach our children to love God. Now understand, I did not say that you can make your children love God. That is not possible. And as much as you and I would love to show our children and make it where they can feel and know the presence of the Lord, that they can understand the true gift, that He is the treasure above all things, that is something that you and I have come to personally to know the Lord. And so our children will personally come to know the Lord as they turn in their own hearts to Him. So it is a spiritual act. And so as parents, we are regularly praying that God continues to work in our children's hearts, and that our children will be open to the call of the Lord. We can lead them to our great Savior, but only the Savior and our children make that decision. As we are teaching our children, we understand this process should be shown as much as taught to them with Spirit-filled living. It's do as I say and as I do, right? If we want our children to know the Lord and to love the Lord, it's not simply one or the other. We must prioritize teaching and showing them what Spirit-filled living and loving looks like. As parents, we have to keep grace at the center of our parenting, because you and I will mess up. You and I make mistakes. But you and I don't have to be perfect. Mothers don't have to be perfect. Are you listening with me, mothers? In a Pinterest perfect world, you don't have to be perfect to make a lasting, positive impact on your children's life. That grace is at the center of our lives. But let's look specifically at our text. Jesus answered the question of what is the greatest commandment, and surely that is worth paying attention to. And Jesus answered, "The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." See, Jesus is quoting the Shema, which means to hear. Deuteronomy 6:4 is where we hear this passage originally. And the Jews would recite this passage every day. The heart in the Bible is the core of a person's identity. It is the source of all thoughts, words, and action. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." See, love for God must flow from the deepest part of a person's being. Love of God begins in the heart and flows to the outside. Amen, church? Amen, church? Okay. Love of God begins and stirs in the heart, and then that's when we obey out of love and of greatness, the gratefulness and thankfulness for what the Lord has done in us, being grateful for the sacrifice of our Savior, and then it's a matter of acting in accordance with our conviction. It's not manufacturing love. As parents, particularly mothers, to teach your child to protect their hearts from would-be suitors, to help them to love the things of the heavenly realm over the things of the earthly realm. There's all sorts of would-be suitors that say, do this, spend your time here and send your heart's affections to this. And all the while, God says, don't waste your time with the temporal when we should be focusing and investing in eternity. But the world will not stop just because we have a desire to do so. There will always be would-be suitors vying for our child and our children's heart's affections. we must stand at the gate. We must stand as the best of our ability to protect their hearts. Fathers are great at protecting from would-be boyfriends, right? I can't wait to do that one day. I don't want my daughter to date, but I can't wait to be the guy that keeps her from doing it. It's going to be delightful, you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, my wife's grandparents were the first family member that I met from her side of the family, and they were so gracious and kind to me when I first met them. Her grandpa even gave me a gift, if you can believe it. And so they shook my hand, and it was so kind. And then he said, "John, I have a gift for you." And I said, "Oh," just blessed my heart thinking that her grandpa would give me a gift. And he gave me a shotgun shell with my name on it. We all know what that means, right? It means you harm her, I harm you. You harm her, I harm you. And I said, I can agree with that. And nobody say anything about her harming me, but that's a whole different story. But they stood protecting from suitors and would-be suitors such as myself. And as parents, we have that responsibility. As mothers, you have the responsibility to protect your children's heart. Now, I understand that my child has grown up a long time ago. I can't stand in the door of that. Well, maybe the process of parenting certainly changes. You go from a teacher as a parent, specifically as a guide. Your children still need you. They still need your wisdom. They still need your guidance. They still need your direction. They still need your support. Yes, that process has changed, but they still need you. Help them understand, to help them love the things of heaven and not simply the things of earth. It is not closed-minded to protect your child's heart. It's not closed-minded to stand and say, this is right and this is the path that you should go down and this is wrong. This is harmful. Don't go down this path. As parents, particularly mothers, we are to teach our children to love with all of their heart, all of their identity, who they really are. But Jesus doesn't end there. He says, we are to love them with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, the soul in Scripture is the seat of emotion. In Matthew 26:38, Jesus said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Emotions, if we're not careful, can be easily manipulated. Manipulated by obligations, situations, adverse or good. It can be manipulated by people for good or for bad. And so the heart, the mind, and soul and strength are all connected. We can't divide these things out as much as men in our compartmentalized minds want to do, right? But the heart, the mind, the soul, the strength, they're all ultimately connected together. And so we have our emotions, but we have and that are a gift from God, but emotions must be at the back of the train of our connected hearts and lives, right? The emotions get to ride in the caboose, right? They don't get to be the one driving the train, because emotions can be here, there, and everywhere, right? And they can cause all sorts of trouble. And if I went on how I feel some days, or a lot of days, I'd make a lot of bad decisions. A lot of times when I wake up, I don't feel like a Christian. Now when I get coffee in me, I feel a lot more like a Christian. But the truth of the matter is when if our feelings are so fickle, and somebody could have treated you ugly, and you can just feel terrible, and you don't feel like the child of God that you really are, that we just sung about. You don't feel like the mom or the dad that you're supposed to be, and you don't feel that God has eternally secured you. And so that's why emotions, yes, they're important. Yes, we should encourage that, worshiping and living in a lively way with our souls and our emotions, but we don't let them drive the train. So teach your children to love God passionately. Teach them to love with all of their hearts, but with their souls. So don't teach your children just to obey rules. That's a lot of parents are good at. They say, pray this prayer, read this Bible scripture, go to church. And those things are all wonderful. But if you're not teaching your children, praying, modeling, and asking God for them to love the Lord, then all of that becomes is legalistic action, which leads to a bitter soul. We are praying and asking God to help our children love the Lord. So for them to be spirit-filled, even little people, even with their little legs that don't reach the floor, if they've trusted Christ, that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, teach them to obey the Holy Spirit, not just rules. To love God passionately. And can I just say a little side word here? There's a great time every Sunday morning we get to come up here and worship God passionately. We get to worship with all of our hearts. And I'm telling you, friend, particularly men are really bad about this. Somehow singing is not considered masculine. I don't understand it, but then we'll sit there with their hands in their pocket, not singing a thing about the Lord. And your children say, okay, this is the way I'm supposed to worship the Lord, cold and distant. Now don't get me wrong, people worship all sorts of ways. Man, I like to stand up and I'm singing, and I don't expect everybody to do that. Well, I'd like to get a tambourine and just go Baptist up here, okay? But that's not what everybody wants to do. I mean, some people just want to stand and sing, and you can stand with your heart, but don't ever miss the opportunity to worship God passionately, no matter what your style of worship may be. Worship with all their souls. Teach your children to worship with all their souls. Jesus says, after they've worshiped with all their soul, teach them to worship with all your mind. See, the mind embraces the will, the intentions, and purposes of someone. Teach your children to seek after God. Matthew 7:7 says, seek and you will find. James says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. I put this on Facebook the other day, but you guys can appreciate it. But I want my children to thirst for Jesus as they do thirst for water after they've been put down for bed. Right? I want them to love God with that sort of a thirst. I want to love God with that sort of a thirst. I want to seek God. I want my children to seek God with all of their mind. You know, I've had this conversation many times. Christian parents ask me, why are my kids not following the Lord? Now make sure we understand this. There's people you can love God, you can serve Him faithfully, you can raise your children exactly the way that God tells you, and your children can still rebel. So let's make sure that we understand that. But they did a lot of research, and they're trying to figure out why so many kids turned from the Lord once they went off to school. And it wasn't because the professors were so persuasive or the culture was so ungodly. It's because their parents didn't really prioritize serving God. That's what research showed. That their parents don't really care about God. And so they raise kids that don't really care about God. Do you want your children to care about God? Care about God. Care about the things of the Lord. Prioritize it in your life. And then your children will know that's what they should do. It's a willing love. Teach your children to see beyond themselves. Whenever I see these protests all around and every other day, I see a whole bunch of people that cannot see beyond themselves. Now, some of them would say that they are, and maybe there is some good protest out there. That's certainly not untrue. But a lot of these people, they want free this and free that, and they can't see beyond themselves. And they've been raised where they cannot see beyond themselves. Brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that we raise children that seek the Lord, that see other people and the need to serve them. And by serving them, they find their greatest fulfillment. Their greatest love in life is by serving God and serving other people. Serve with all their mind. And lastly, Jesus says, serve with all your strength. Now obviously strength refers to physical energy and function. James also says that we are to be hearers of the word, and we just get to go home after that. Isn't that what James said, something like that? No, he said, be hearers of the word and be doers of the word. That we hear God's word and then we act on it. God's word never gives us the ability to listen to it and go, huh, that was nice. It never lets us do that. It compels us, it commands us to action. Will you change an attitude, a habit, or action? Will you change these when you are confronted with the truth of God's word? We can't just hear God's word. We must be doers of God's word. We act on God's word. The story is told of a man that went to Africa, and he was this big bodybuilder, and he was showing off for the people, and the chief of this particular tribe was just blown away by this guy's physique, and he was doing all the things that bodybuilders do for the people. He was giving them some of this and some of this. Now it's not impressive when I do it, but it's impressive when other people do it, right? And these bodybuilders and man, the chief was just blown away by all this guy, his big muscles, and so the chief, you know, real kind of innocently, you know, says, so what do you do with all those muscles? He says, well, this is what I do. The bodybuilder said, I do this. I work out to pose. And the chief said, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. To have all this ability and do nothing with it. Friend, your children need not be hearers simply, but be doers of the word, to act on what God has called them to act on. I look around our world and I see that we desperately need Christians to act like Christians, not to be Christians in their mind and their heart and sit on their sofas. There's no such thing as armchair Christianity. Christianity that is true is began with the love of the Father, the loving, the changing transformation power of Jesus Christ in our hearts, and then it compels us to action, to share the gospel with friends that don't know it, to live righteously when other people don't want us to do so, to act in mercy, to act in kindness, to have joy. See, the Christianity, the gospel of the Bible that compels us to act. Not just sit. Not just criticize. Do with all of our strength, give every part of our body to God. See, our children will have trouble loving God any more than we do. You and I cannot give what we do not have. It's always frustrating when you see sinful behaviors from your own heart, your own actions, and you see them displayed in your own children, and you know exactly where they got them from. So I recognize that for God, if I'm going to give them anything that matters, if I'm going to leave a legacy that means anything, help me, first of all, to love God. Help me to love you above everything else. If I want them to prioritize you, help me to prioritize you. Help me to love you with every part, with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help me to pass that on to little ones that need to hear and see that themselves. As a parent with grown-up children, you need to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you need to guide your children and pass that wisdom on to your grandchildren and your grandchildren and your grandchildren. It is only through loving the Lord that we can love others as we should. The mother's highest priority is to teach her children to love and serve the Lord. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. Can I ask you this question? What priorities are you showing your children? I'm not asking what you tell your children to do. I'm asking what you show your children. Are they in accordance with one another? Maybe you said God's important, church is important, but you've really shown your children that money is the priority of your life. You're willing to skip church all the time. You never serve anywhere because you're always going after the almighty God of the dollar. And you've shown your children that that is what they should love, and that is a weak God, friends. Maybe you said it's beauty, and you've facilitated and manipulated a life and pursued that with every part. Maybe you said the highest priority is education, and you've got to get an education, and you got to get your education so what? So you can get more money. Power, prestige, whatever. What are the priorities that you are showing? Not simply teaching or telling, but showing your children with your actions, with your time, with your energy. Can I encourage you in this invitation time? Say, God, maybe my priorities have got a little out of whack. And I just want to dedicate my life in a way that honors you. I want to remove the things in my heart that are temporary, the things that are that seem like they're the most pressing, and I want to love the things that are eternal. I want to pass it on to my children. Lord, help me to turn from the things that keep me from you. Maybe you're a mother here today and you're saying, I feel inadequate. I see what other people do online and friends and parks, and they seem like they all have their act together, and I just feel really discouraged from that. Hey, I want you to know that if you've made mistakes, that there's always forgiveness in the Lord, and you need to know that. You need to embrace the all-forgiving heart of the Lord. If you've made mistakes, and say, Lord, give me direction and guidance and wisdom on how to do that. And as we sung in our song earlier, the Bible says I am who you say that I am. I'm not what the world says. I'm not what my past says. I am who you say that I am. I'm a child of God. If you feel inadequate, then just go to the Scripture. It says that you are loved and treasured as a child of God. You understand? We make mistakes. But God's not holding those against you if you're willing to ask for His forgiveness and His reconciliation. God's ready to do that. It's not too late. Can I encourage you, for those who are single, say, maybe I want to be a mom one day. I want to be married and have children. I want to do all that. And that's not the path that God's led you on right now. Seek the Lord. Seek Him with all of your heart. Be the most godly woman. Be the most godly person that you can be. And then after you've run hard, hard after God, then look around and see who's running with you. Seek the Lord. I don't know everybody in this room. I believe there's probably people here who don't know the Lord. But there are people who have never trusted Christ as their Savior. My prayer for you today is to say, recognize that you are guilty, that you stand guilty before a holy God, because we have all sinned, we've all fallen short. But God in His great love sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross in my place. So God took the punishment for my sin and He put them on Jesus Christ. This is what Christianity is all about, the substitution of Jesus Christ. That I can be made right with God because of what Jesus has done. And by repentance, which simply means turning from our sin and trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I can become a Christian, that you can become a Christian. Not about joining the church, not about being baptized, those are all great things. But has there been a time in your life where you've said, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I know that I stand guilty before God, and I want to be made right with you. You can do that today. You don't have to leave here unsure of where you'll spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. The music plays and everybody stands. You said, if you want to act on however these things that I've talked about, if you want to become a believer, then come forward and talk with me. So I can't do that, then fill out one of the cards. We've had people do that all the time. So I want to know Jesus. Put it on the card. Leave your name, and I want to talk with you about it. However God is working in your heart, I pray that you would be obedient, follow, and do what He said. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. in a world of imperfect parents. Lord, you are good and faithful, and we thank you for that. God, I thank you for the institution of motherhood that you created. God, I thank you for the blessing that they've been in our life. I pray your blessings on them today. Lord, I pray that you help us to prioritize the right things. Lord, I pray that you help us to love you and teach those we love the most to love you. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with inadequacy, maybe difficulty of the past. Lord, I pray that they would know your forgiveness and your love, and that you would strengthen them today. For those who do not know you, they would not worry about what people look like and say around them, but they would give their life to you today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.